Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and I'm on the town as an American in Paris, or making contact with anybody on 42nd Street. But if we're moving out, then anything goes. It's a West Side Story, but I'm crazy for you, Billy Elliot. Ooh, or is it Will Rogers? Follies. It's after midnight, and the dames at sea are forming a chorus line at the bandstand on Jerome Robbins Broadway. I may be having Bombay dreams about Fosse, where Jelly's last jam is a can-can of cats, but they really bring in the noise and bring in the fun when in the Holiday Inn is in news ease. So just shuffle along. Or the making of the musical sensation of 1921 and all that followed. Joining us today are the usual people with loose feet, including Kevin Riverdance Jaeger.
Yeah, I'm Lord of the Dance. Woo,
Kimberly.
Why is St. Patrick's Day? Why am I not Riverdance?
Because you're just dancing game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour. Oh, I guess river dancing. Yeah, okay. We could switch it. Kevin, our dancing Jaeger. Oh, no, that didn't make sense.
No, you're right.
Anyway. And with us today is a returning guest you've seen in Rent, Footloose, Jersey Boys, Jesus Christ Superstar, Paramore, Head Over Heels. There's a possibly a chance you'll see him in Flying Over Sunset this fall with tons of friends of the show. But let's give a big, broad-waisted welcome to this returning friend of the show.
This returning friend of the show.
Jeremy Kushner.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome. Thank
you. My favorite thing about that intro is that it still makes them laugh.
Yeah, I know. This one,
so yeah,
really my favorite thing. Like you guys, it's so sweet to watch them still laugh at your stupid jokes. It is amazing. I love it.
Where the humor for me comes from, how excited he gets. Like he's a little kid when
you can tell when he knows we know what it is.
Yep,
totally.
He's like, they get it.
This one was interesting because I was looking through your Broadway resume, and we've actually done all of those shows in intros. And I don't like to repeat intros. I'll repeat songs if I'm doing like a combination, a mega mix, if you will. Mm-hmm. But like this one, I was like, what do we do? But since Flying Over Sunset is a quote tap show or a dance, so there's a lot of dancing in it. Mm-hmm. And then Footloose, obviously, I was like, let's just go with dance shows that were on.
I dig it.
I love to dance.
People do love right.
Yeah.
I try. Well, welcome. Thanks for joining us from the confines of your delightful home.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, cheers. Let's raise a glass.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Clinkies.
Clink.
So let's just start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Well, today I am drinking this is my standard. So I thought last time I was with you guys, I had sort of a wintry, wonderful whiskey concoction. Yeah. And this time my standard, I'm Ukrainian by heritage mm-hmm. and an alcoholic by birth. I drink a lot of vodka and
sure.
I discovered really late in my drinking career that you can call it a martini and just make the vodka really cold.
Yeah.
And pour it into a glass.
With
and
like
that's
maybe
a drink.
An olive.
Yeah.
So I have to make the joke. You have a quarantini.
I have a quarantini. I do. But it's very important for me. It's Tito's martini.
Nice.
Shaken really cold. I got to make sure the glass is chilled ahead of time. If I can put them in the freezer, great. If not, you can chill it with a couple ice cubes and some water. Then my brother taught me this great trick where you go to Bed Bath & Beyond, or as I like to say, Amazon, and you buy these... You buy these little squirt bottles. You can get them for you used to be able to get them for 69 cents. Now after this, they'll probably go up.
Sure.
And you fill it with vermouth.
That's brilliant.
And you give the glass just a spray.
Yeah.
It's like cologne for the martini glass.
For the martini glass. Then you pour the vodka in, and then you take a little lemon peel or lemon zest and put that in there.
Are you an olives man? Like, how do you...
I like olives. If it's like a pre-dinner martini, I'll do olives.
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay, that's like an appetizer.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But after, I'm more of a twist guy.
Do you... okay. Do you stuff olives or...
That's personal.
I'm so sorry.
Also, I just want to point out because they can't see you right now because it's just audio and it's a podcast, so there's nothing to see. But you look incredibly dapper right now.
Thank you. I feel like it's important in this time, in love, in the time of COVID, that we dress that we get dressed every once in a while, and you are three of my favorite people to drink with, so I thought, let's go out and drink, and if we're going to go out, let's go somewhere fancy.
And I love that you went all in, because you have a martini shaken, not stirred.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for noticing.
Very James
Bond. Yeah, of course. What do you, so you're obviously quarantining like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. I guess talk about the transition of, you were in rehearsals for Flying Over Sunset at Lincoln Center.
We were.
And now you're at home. Like, what was your situation? What was your story, your experience?
Well, we were in tech and we were about to do our first preview. So we had our invited dress the day before they announced the no more than 500 people in a room together. So we had a normal, pretty normal invited dress. There was probably 100, 200 people there. Mm-hmm. And then the next day was the first preview, which we did. We did a full day of rehearsal and then we did the first preview, but with nobody there. They had, a couple crew people had their relatives and stuff, but no.
Was that the Thursday they canceled it or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they canceled it, but we still did a performance just with no real audience. And then we went, Lincoln Center is really, they have all of these amazing traditions. And one of the traditions is that after the first preview that Andre takes the entire company, meaning crew, creatives, act, everybody out for dinner right after the first preview to kind of just go, we made it.
Wow.
No, this is, it's not opening night, but we've all made it. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
Anyway, which was really great. But it definitely was tinged with, oh crap. Like what's mm-hmm. next? What are we going to do? And the Friday, I think that the next, I can't remember if we came in the next day. I feel like we had to rehearse the next day. It was either the next day we rehearsed again, or that was the last day. But around then it was just sort of, we just went home and they said, we'll be back. Hopefully by April 14th, we'll be back. And we weren't.
Right. They postponed it. So they're just going to open it in the fall.
That's their hope. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
to open it in
for
the fall.
Sure.
So, and it's a really cool show. I mean, it's like Tom.
What's it about? Tell me more.
That's really
like, does it have a car?
there is no car. There's some car sounds.
Oh.
No, it's basically, here's what happened. I'm going to give you the James Lapine rundown of basically
the James Bond rundown.
The James Bond Lapine.
Right.
Rundown. James Bond Lapine. James Lapine. So he started, he had read this article that I think was in Vanity Fair from way back in the day when it turns out that Cary Grant sort of came out in Vanity Fair with the fact that he was doing acid in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know. I didn't know that people did acid in the 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was like a 1960s, 70s drug.
He started the trend.
He did. He started the trend.
Oh, so Archie.
Geez. So he read this article about that and he said, well, that's interesting. He said, like, wouldn't that be an interesting musical? And from then he realized, no, that's stupid. It's not a good musical. But he started reading up about these people that were sort of connected to him. Claire Booth Luce, who was this woman who was she was a Republican, but she was a senator and she was a diplomat. She was a writer. She had like a crazy, interesting life. She also dabbled in the drug. And then of course, Aldous Huxley, who he came to through this guy, Gerald Hurd, who sort of connected Claire and Aldous in the fact that he was kind of this guide. So you would take the drug with him and he would sort of be your everything's going to be okay guy in the background. Yeah. And then he thought, okay, well, let's talk about that a little bit. These three people that crazy, like doing acid in the 50s. Now, what would happen if they met? And so he, the beginning of the show is this, is sort of, is factual in its base. And then the second act is the three of them getting together and, or the four of them really getting together and doing acid, which is the fictitious part. And then what happens with that? Other than that, I'm going to sort of like leave it to you guys to figure
out. So this sounds like, do you know the story about like whether it's true or not, or they were going to make a movie about it, but like Michael Jackson, Marlon Brando, and Elizabeth Taylor in their road trip trying to get out of New York during 9/11?
Yes, I do remember that.
It sounds like this.
Yeah.
in a good way.
Yes. Yes. No, it sounds amazing. It sounds amazingly genius.
I mean, the clips I've heard of the music are beautiful.
Well, it's Tom Kitt. I mean, Tom Kitt, Michael Corey wrote the lyrics.
Cool.
The two of them are genius.
Yeah.
You got James Lapine sort of putting this whole mishmash together. You have, like, the creatives are incredible. Then you have Tony playing Cary Grant. You have... Mm-hmm. Harry.
That's great Hayden. Casting. That's such good casting.
Oh, yeah. Harry Hayden Patton playing Aldous Huxley, which is fantastic, and he's amazing.
He was so good in My Fair Lady.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
He's also like the dearest, sweetest individual slash amazing actor. Like,
really?
He just,
that's so good to hear.
He really is. I mean, he really is a mensch. And then Robert Sala is playing the very underappreciated character, which sort of, there was four main characters, and then James at one point went, that's too many, like it's too many people to concentrate on, so he sort of made him kind of, he has his own tier, Gerald Hurd, who's the guy who sort of leads them through, but, and then, of course, friend of the show, Carmen Cusack.
Yeah. Should we all curse right now?
Yes.
Okay.
One, two, three.
No!
Great.
Should I go get my mug that she's got?
She's a national treasure, so.
Oh, yeah.
She is so incredible. National First of all, look, treasure. Let me, like, she, yeah. You could listen to her sing The Phone Book. She's incredible. Mm-hmm. But she's the kind of singer that, you know, because there's lots of different classes of musical theater grand dames, and she is one of them.
Yeah.
But she is the kind of singer that, although I could, again, listen to her sing The Phone Book. When she sings, she's the kind of actress that you forget that she's singing. Like, you just start listening
yes.
to the story, yeah. and you totally forget that she is, like, this incredible...
Had you worked with her before?
No. We did a workshop of this last spring, and then in the late fall, early winter, we did another workshop. So that was the first time that I had worked with her. But I had met her through my buddy Paul Nolan, who did... Right. With her. So I fell in love with her then when I saw her.
Sure. But let's play a game.
Okay,
let's play a game.
Oh, yeah. As I reach for my gin?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait. Can I refill?
Yeah.
Of course. Okay. I'm going to.
Let us all.
Refill. Oh, while we're refilling, we can go through what the rest of us are drinking.
Okay, I'll refill. I'm going to refill while you do that.
I'm drinking the Milagro tequila with a little bit of lime seltzer on the rocks.
I miss the Milagro tequila so much in this quarantine.
Yeah, so as we've said before, I was in the office where all of our booze was when they announced my office was closed because someone tested positive. So I grabbed everything. The gin is still in the office. Sorry, Kimberly.
That's that
but I grabbed the tequila and we've been enjoying the Milagro here in quarantine. And you really have a handle of Tito's there, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and it's cold.
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I just opened my second quarantine bottle of Tanqueray.
Nice. Are you keeping track of how much you're drinking?
We have just kind of left the empties.
Oh God, sure. I can't do that. If I do that,
I take
like the liquor.
We would be nowhere to. There'd be nowhere for us to live.
Only the liquor. We have taken out so much recycling of like beer, cider, White Claw.
And I'm just drinking red wine because I am taking this. My quarantine time is wine time, so I'm
good. I will say the saddest thing that happened is the first grocery store trip, like before we really quarantined. the grocery store was out of tonic.
Oh no. Oh, which is no. Delightful at the same time sad.
But I was like in this like aisle of like seltzers and sodas. And I was like, mm-hmm. no tonic at all. None at all. And I was like looking at other things. I was like, what do I put in gin? What can I put in gin? Right. I do have olives. So I guess I could have been making martinis. But
that's true.
You have lime juice too?
Yeah.
You know, I switched from tonics because I used to be a vodka tonic guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I discovered that tonic water has like the exact same amount of sugar as Coca-Cola.
Well, I usually get diet tonic, but they were also out of that.
Let's play that game.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
What are we playing? I have
quarantine quandaries.
Oh.
Yes.
These are some random facts that maybe you would Google after hours and hours of sitting alone. And so,
love it.
I have 10 questions, and I'll sort of ask each one of you one, keep track of your own score, and then hopefully, yeah, that gives us one tiebreaker if there's a tie.
Keep track of your own score. Kevin won.
I win.
Brian, keep track of scores.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Is it 1 point? It's 1 point each, except for me, I get two?
It's 1 point each, except for you, you get zero.
Okay. I win.
Brian, I'll ask you the first. This is something that I have actually Googled.
Okay.
I will put the caveat on this that like some of these are statistics and think of statistics before COVID.
Sure.
Because the first question is, how many people are in the air right now in airplanes? Oof. And probably right now it's 3.
8.
And this is
on a normal day.
This is
in the
this
whole
is
world.
Okay, yeah.
How many people are in the sky?
I'm going to say 1.2 million.
Wow.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
Would anyone like to steal the answer?
200,000.
Yeah, I was going to go closer to Kevin, so I'm just going to let Kevin get it.
It's around 500,000.
Oh, that's still way more than I would have expected.
Right?
So are we playing Price is Right rules? Does Kevin get that point?
No, you still get – everyone gets no points.
Great.
Because you were wrong and everyone
you still
wrong.
Get everyone getting no points.
This is cool, your cool, showcase cool. Showdown. You yeah. all lose.
You all lose. I'm that's going in the order that you are on my screen. I don't know if it's the same order on anyone else's screen. I'm just realizing. So right. Kevin is underneath Brian.
Oh, no. Jeremy's underneath mine.
Oh, so Kevin goes next.
Kevin's underneath me, which it's sort of like, so if like we're like one big giant Broadway luge.
A bobsled.
We are the Broadway bobsled.
We are Broadway bobsled. Kiss my egg.
I love that movie.
Me too.
That should also be a musical. Why not?
I actually have thought about it. Actually,
that would be a good one.
Kevin.
Yes.
What everyday item kills 4 times as many people as sharks?
What everyday item kills 4 times as many people as sharks?
Again, every day when you are allowed to go outside.
Cars.
And into other buildings.
Was it cars?
Revolving
doors? I'm going to go elevators.
No.
Revolving
doors? It is bending machines.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, like in a metal plant?
On people?
Like they fall on people who are trying to get their snack.
Oh vending machines. I thought you said bending machines. I was like, bending machine.
I mean, probably that too.
I was like, is it like in a metal plant? Like how, like, I remember even like in high school, you had to like do shop and there was like definitely a machine that like bent metal in half.
Yeah.
And I was like, that definitely could kill like more people than sharks.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
So I get a point?
All right. No.
All right, Kevin. Slow down.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
How many questions a day does the average 4-year-old ask?
I just picture a bunch of mothers saying, too many.
Yeah, pouring more wine.
Is it dumb that I'm like not really great at math? So I went to rent and I was like, okay, 521,000 minutes.
Then how many?
Then how many in a month divided by 30 is it one a day? It's probably a couple of questions a minute. They're awake for like 23 hours a day. Like, I'm going to say, 1,000.
400.
Okay.
Oh, that, you have kids, right, Jeremy?
Two little girls, yeah.
Yeah, and they
probably
1,000 probably feels right.
1,000 does feel right. I mean, 400, after 400, I think you stop counting.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
All right, Brian.
Sure.
If the human brain was a computer, how many operations could it perform per second?
350.
100?
350,000.
He's a really old computer brain.
Cool.
Like he's got like a Casio calculator brain.
Yeah. Watch, a Casio watch.
Would anyone like to steal that answer?
A million. I'm just going with the brown numbers. It's just easier, it feels like.
I'll let him take this one because I have no idea.
38 quadrillion.
Oh, I was close.
Really close. really close.
I said three.
Okay. Kevin. Okay.
Yes.
How many teeth do mosquitoes have?
Zero?
I'm going with one. I'm going to say one.
Are they Florida mosquitoes?
47.
Oh.
Really?
Who knew?
And that's what breaks your skin out, so then they use their straw.
Oh.
Isn't that a gross thing to learn? Here we
it
go.
It is, but, you know, I'll never see a mosquito
like,
again.
I don't like hearing use their straw. That sounds really
so they're,
is
so
it
wait,
paper?
Their teeth are on the outside of their straw?
I'm not sure if it's like the teeth like break the skin and then there's a sucking motion.
Ugh, okay. Let's move on.
Yeah. Jeremy.
This is really fun. Wait, hold on. The score now is Brian 0, Kevin 0, Kimberly 0, Jeremy 0. Great.
How do I get points? I'm asking the questions.
I mean, you should win. You're stumping us on every one.
No, Kimberly's maybe getting negative points every time we get it wrong.
No, oh. I get a point when you get it wrong.
Okay. Sure.
That's what I'll say.
Sure,
this is the game where I win. How many beats per minute is a hummingbird's heartbeat?
Ooh, I feel like I know this. 500.
I was going to say, go back to red.
Would anyone else like to steal that answer?
I
know it's high.
1,000.
I'm gonna go above Kevin with 1,200.
1,200 is correct.
Only point of the entire game.
Wow, the first point of the game. And now, Brian, it's your question.
No, stop.
What is Sonic the Hedgehog's full name?
Oh, that's easy. It's Bartholomew S. Sonical.
Oh, duh.
I have no idea. What's
oh, I thought you were. I thought you were dead on.
No, did any? No, I didn't. No, I have no idea.
It is Ogliv Maurice Hedgehog.
Where does Sonic come from?
I don't know.
Don't like it.
I guess we got to watch the movie.
Yeah. Hey, I'll watch it.
That's on Amazon Prime now. I think too.
So, you might buy it. First movie ever where James Marsden just like, got cuckolded in a movie?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. There's no promises.
Hollywood's cuckold, James Marsden.
Poor guy, he's so handsome. All right,
yeah, he's cuckolding all the way to the bank.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it works for him.
Kevin.
Yes.
What percentage of DNA do humans share with bananas?
13%.
I think it's like 80%. It's something crazy.
I feel like it's more, yeah.
Any guesses?
I'm going to go with 80. I'm going to go with 80%.
65.
50.
That's still crazy.
We are half banana.
Well, some of us a little bit more.
Would you like a easier question?
I would. Although I don't feel like that's coming from you, Kimberly, so go ahead.
Jeremy, can you sneeze while you sleep?
No.
Correct.
Finally.
Well,
tie game.
Tie game, baby.
Tie game. Your brain actually turns off the function to sneeze when you sleep.
So like, why can't it do that
to for
all
other
the
things?
Time? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We would just walk around with like pepper like falling out of our nose.
Yeah, I am right.
We'd just be like shoving like peppercorns.
Okay, so Brian and Jeremy are tied.
Mm-hmm.
I have our tiebreaker question.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Each get a guess.
Oh, right. Kevin is three. I forgot.
Sure. So that means he loses. So right. You each
it's
get
golf.
A guess at this next question.
Okay.
Sure.
It's a weird one that you've never thought to ask.
I love it.
How many people a year in New York City are bitten by other people? So hard they feel the need to report it.
This is,
Or else.
A year.
A year, yes. In a year, how many people, I guess it could go the same way. How many people bite other people?
So are we doing Price is Right rules closest by being under?
Yeah, Price is Right rules.
Okay.
Who goes first?
I'll go first. You're the okay. guest. You can do second. I'm going to say 250.
Ooh, okay. It doesn't matter because I was going to go way higher. I was going to say like 1,300.
So you're going to 251?
Yeah.
But you were going to say 1,300.
Yeah, I was going to say 1,300.
Are those your final answers?
Yes.
1,600.
Wow.
Jeremy wins.
Well done, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Well,
that's done. A lot of biting.
It is a lot. That's just the biting that people go, I should tell somebody about this.
Yeah.
Exactly. As opposed to like, ow, what? Who? What?
And then, that is like the bite that is an assault.
Yeah. I buy it. Wait,
what did we call that game again?
Quarantine Quandaries.
That was great.
It was super fun.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So, Jeremy, before we continue on, I guess this is us continuing on. Mm-hmm. You're quarantined, you're at home. Mm-hmm. Have you done any kind of reflective work on your career, how you've gotten here? What you? Oh my god, I'm so sorry. Oh my god, I'm so poor. Another
quarantine. Okay. I'm gonna be okay.
No, that's, I guess in terms of,
I'm so close to really crying.
No.
I mean, you did that awesome photo shoot with Jen for the anniversary of Footloose.
That was really fun.
And we talked a lot about Footloose and Rent the last time you were on here. And we obviously talked a lot about Head Over Heels because you were in it at the time. Mm-hmm. I guess, have you done a lot of kind of, now that unfortunately you're at home and kind of confined to the space that you're in, have you done a lot of thinking and retrospective of your career and where you've come and like what, We talked to another Jeremy Jordan about and his wife Ashley about like what shows were super special to them and stand out above the rest, or just like how you got here and the appreciation for it. This is a very open-ended question, but I just kind of wanted to pose that to you. Mm-hmm. If you have thought about it, like what has stood out, or if this is the first time you're doing that, let's do it live.
No, I think, this year, it's funny because even before any of this sort of house arrest, I have my New York Times cooking app and my.
You were saying I have my anklet. It's a house arrest.
my file for the things that I'm cooking from, because that's where I get most of my recipes from, is sure. House arrest. Anyway, it was very quick. We very quickly devolved. This whole year has been sort of a, it's done this question to me. This summer, I got a chance to sort of revisit Footloose again, out at the Muni with Christian Borle, which was,
oh, fun,
incredible. And I got to play the minister, which was really cool. I mean, that was definitely like a, oh, sort of, it made me start to think back on, you know, all the places you'll go.
Yeah.
Sort of in like, it's sort of reading it backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, sitting here, look, I think that the biggest thing for anybody is that you sort of think, okay, well, how am I going to survive the next, you know, every time they throw numbers out or dates out at you, you're like, how am I going to survive that? And then hopefully you have somebody in your life that sort of reels you back in and says, okay, well, or how about tomorrow?
Sure.
And then I remember that I'm Canadian too, when I say tomorrow.
When you think about your career.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, it also has, for me, what it's really done has offered me the opportunity to take some time to do some stuff that that I wish that I would have. You know, we all now have this forced time to do the things that we said that we would have or wished that we would have when we had the time. Now we don't have the time anymore, but now we have the time again. Sure. And that's sort of been my big realization.
So you're binging Breaking Bad.
I'm binging Breaking Bad, basically. Yeah. No, I'm trying to play music. Yeah. I'm trying to cook. I'm trying to write. I'm trying to catch up with friends that you forget about.
You have a sourdough starter.
I have a sourdough starter that I have to find things to do with the extra on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to career, yeah, I think about how exciting it is to do what we do. And there's no better time to sort of think about that than when you're not doing it. One of the things that I... as a musical theater artist have realized in the past few years is that all I want to do is plays. I love singing, but I love plays. My girlfriend, and I met doing, Othello. I think we talked about that on the last time I was here. I think I was really drunk at that point too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it definitely, the other night we sat around, there was a great article in the Times the other day about just reading plays with your friends, like getting together and like more than even just reading a book, like just opening a play up and reading it. And we did that the other night with Doll's House 2, which was super fun.
Sure, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so I realized that there is so much more yet to come, and the luxury. Early on, my brother and I talked about this. My brother used to be in theater. He did Hairspray on Broadway.
Cool.
And then realized really quickly that he really just wants to be a writer. Mm-hmm. So now he writes. But, you know, we were sitting talking the other day about this, and he was like, all these people that are like, what am I going to do? I have to sit at home all day, and I don't have no one telling me what to do. And Serge and I are like, well, yeah, that's like, we did that for a living. You know, for months at a time as an actor, as a writer, you just sort of pick up and go, okay, what today? Now I don't have a job. So a reminder that like that this will all end and we will get back to what we're going to get back to. And also to appreciate it, to appreciate what we do. You know, I was talking with Paul Nolan this morning about, you know, we're talking about like, when do you think we're going to be able to do this again? And as theater, especially because the arts in general are hard, but theater, especially, it's like you're asking a bunch of people to get into a room together.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that is the most special about it is that you are sharing a story with this huge group of people. And having this going on an emotional journey with a big group of people together is such a special thing. And so it's made me realize how great and how lucky we are and were and will be again.
Yeah.
And just that I want to get back to it. I'm really excited to get back to it. And I'm excited to not sort of sweat the small stuff when it comes to career wise.
You know? So I guess on top of that, so when you did Flying Over Sunset, did you also fly over Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin?
It's Kevin's corner.
That's my favorite corner.
Welcome back to Kevin's Corner.
It smells the same, Kevin.
Away from
it smells the same.
This is the place where I have three highly researched questions to ask you. And we are in quarantine, so they just got weird. So
cool. They just got weird?
So we'll kind of just go through this and see how this goes. Your name is Jeremy, so we played the name game with a bunch of different Jeremys. That was my jumping off point on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where this goes. So Jeremy, your name is Jeremy. Just like Jeremy Lin, the American professional basketball player for the Chinese Basketball Association's Beijing Ducks. Mm-hmm. Lin unexpectedly led a winning turnaround with the New York Knicks during the 2011-2012 season.
I remember that vividly.
Generating a cultural phenomenon known as Linsanity.
Oh, yeah, baby.
There's a whole documentary about it.
Really?
Yep.
I don't pay attention.
Broadway had its own Linsanity in 2015 when Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton took Broadway and the world by storm.
That was 2015?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Storm Shadow, however, is a fictional character from the G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero toy line, comic books, and animated series, who is the Cobra Commander's ninja bodyguard with a known history with fellow ninja Snake Eyes.
Sure.
Yep.
So my question is, if
you That's the first time that I knew all of the references. both in the ones that I was in and ones that I had listened to in the car.
That's amazing.
I never know all of them.
So my question is,
yes.
If you had to select a toy line or brand that should have a Broadway musical inspired by it, which toy line or brand would you choose and why?
Hmm. Oh, gracious. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess we could, for some reason, and I'm just going to go with my gut because I feel like they have been woefully forgotten about. The Smurfs, who were so huge during my childhood, and they have not had a redux. They've not had like a live action movie.
Well, they had those terrible movies.
Recently?
Yeah, with Neil Patrick Harris.
With Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, I was about to say.
Oh, you're right. Okay, never mind.
That went real bad. But still, that can be your answer.
The 2011 Smurfs, 2013, and 2017.
Forget it. Screw the Smurfs. Although I feel like that's you know what? It's a jumping off point. Because Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah, because Neil Patrick Harris is connected. I feel like he could come back and save it.
And he would save probably like to like do it in a way that like would save him from having been in those movies.
There you go. Let's save the Smurfs.
Perfect. That's a good answer. All right, let's jump into number two. Question two. Your name is Jeremy, just like Jeremy Cameron, an Australian professional footballer who plays for the Greater Western Sydney Giants in the Australian Football League and is the Giants' leading goal kicker for 8 consecutive seasons. And based on his picture on Wikipedia page, he is a certifiable hottie. the hottie and the naughty, however, is an American 2008 romantic comedy film starring Paris Hilton that earned her one of 3 Golden Raspberry Awards that she's earned in her quote-unquote career quote-unquote actress, and was called one of the worst films of all time.
It's bad.
The Sweet Life is streaming somewhere.
Oh God, really?
I hope so. Continue.
Other films listed on the worst films of all time list on Wikipedia for the early 2000s include Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2, Ballistic, X versus Sever.
Ooh, that's bad.
And Sex Lives of the Potato Men. So my question is, what awesomely bad movie do you love and why?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
That's a great question.
It's a really good question.
It is.
What awesomely bad movie do I love?
Like, you know, everyone hates it. You'll even admit it's a bad movie, but you just freaking love it.
Oh, no, totally.
Oh, I have so many of those.
You know, I have a good answer for this, too, if you're looking for ours.
You guys, I feel...
Well, it's easier with, like, stupid girly rom-coms.
Fair.
I mean, there's lots of terrible... I mean, if we're gonna genderify this answer, yes, there are lots of terrible male.
I guess that's true too.
But what would it be? No, I don't know. That's a terrible movie, though. I don't know.
Wait, what is it? Regardless.
Well, it's a Canadian movie that I don't know that any of that you guys, that none of you might know. It's called Jacob Tutu Meets the Hooded Fang.
No.
And it was a kid's movie.
That's not real.
No, I know. But you should now all go and research it. You have time. And it's
for sure.
We've got time.
It's amazing, first of all. I'm terrible. I'm sucking at this game today. I'm sorry.
No, I'm here for it.
You would think that I would know which terrible movies I could sit and watch.
So I have an answer.
Go. You go and give your answer.
Why? The answer is, as you can see here, The Monster Squad.
What the heck?
Which is one of my favorite movies. And The Monster Squad is a fantastic film about these young kids who find all of the Universal monsters in their neighborhood and they need to fight them. It is obviously...
Is that Nick Nolte as the...
It is not. But have you ever seen... You've seen Napoleon Dynamite.
Of course.
Uncle Rico plays the Wolfman in this. The Goonies, it's like a fake Goonies. It's great. Dracula grabs a 5-year-old girl and says, "Give me the amulet, you bitch."
Amulet.
It's spectacular.
It's kind of like Chasing Liberty, the Mandy Moore vehicle.
Oh, that's a great answer.
She's the president's daughter.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
Kevin, do you have one?
Not.
What is yours, Kevin?
My awesomely bad movie that I love that other people hate would be... Oh, it's harder than you think of. Yeah.
It is because there's so many bad movies that everybody loves that are terrible.
You don't know if it's bad or not because you love it.
Mine might be Love Actually.
That's not a terrible movie.
It hasn't aged well.
Oh, I love that movie. Okay, what don't you like about it?
Well, a lot of people don't.
Don't get Kevin started.
Okay. No, I like it.
They hate it so much.
The problem with it is that the women in the movie, if you are willing to be like completely owned by a man and have no personality, then you get a good life. But like, if you have like a real personality or expect to be treated like a...
Or familial obligations.
Then you are destroyed.
That's a perfect film that is elevated by its sentimental bookends.
Yes.
I got my movie.
What is it?
It is going back, Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, Entrapment.
Oh,
good one.
And I could watch that movie any day of the week.
All right, question three.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Your name is Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike the Tiger King, whose first name is Joe. There's no real connection there, except I just binged the Tiger King like everyone else in the country, and I'm just kind of still processing it. But also, I'm from Florida, so it was easier for me to believe than it was for most people. Sung People, however, is a song from Gypsy that has been sung by Ethel Merman, Angela Lansbury, Tyne Daly, Bernadette Peters, Patti LuPone, Bette Midler, and in concert many times by Liza Minnelli. Minnelli sounds like Mineola, which is a village in Nassau County, Long Island, New York, whose name is derived from an Algonquin word meaning a pleasant village. So my question is, what is one of the calmest and most pleasant places you have ever been in the world?
Calmest and most pleasant.
You can't choose this Zoom.
We're not calm. We know it.
Oof. Okay, calmest places. I think that... it's going to go back and forth between, well, it's always a beach for me. The ocean, I'm like a water person, so it has to be the ocean. And Hawaii, probably one of the calmest, most, also the first place that I ever went to a nude beach. So there you go. It doesn't get any more calm than that.
I wouldn't think that would be calm, but I'm with you.
Well, chaotic, like people running away screaming, yeah. calm for me is the ocean, and like the ocean. I grew up close to a lake, we had a cabin.
Lakes are amazing. Cabins and lakes are like A+ stuff.
Totally, but I would much rather swim in the ocean.
Oh, me too.
Sleep with the fishes. Yeah. Swim in the ocean.
Ooh.
Lakes just like sit.
Yeah, it feels like it feels creepy.
Yeah, like something's gonna murder you.
Yeah,
I've seen Lake Placid. I know.
Yeah. That's literally what I was thinking. The creepy.
That was a fun corner.
Yeah, so that's been Kevin's corner.
Yay!
Thanks, Kevin.
Hey.
Hey, we talked about that Zoom meeting that I do with the cast of Flying Over Sunset.
Yeah.
The planking. I did want to talk about this one other. So I did. Over the course of this past summer, I did a couple of fun, super fun things. One of them was Hunter Foster is now running this theater out in where is it, Jeremy? It's upstate New York.
Syracuse.
It's called the Red House Theater.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful theater, but this year he called me like way early in the year and said,
Red House Art Center.
Red House Art Center.
Yes. I Googled it. I didn't know that off the top of my head. Don't worry.
No, that's okay. He's like, do you want to come out and do a play with Jen? And I was like, absolutely. So I went out there and did that. And then before that, I was out in upstate New York as well at what used to be the Carousel, it was the Carousel Theater, and now it's called the Rev. Anyway, the end of the story is called the Rev. But the show that I did out there was a brand new musical called Loch Ness, written by Marshall Palais, who wrote Bagdaddy, and he wrote.
We saw that.
We did.
Super talented cat.
I had a mental
that
night.
Yeah, Brian couldn't deal with seeing Larissa Oleanic. Is that her name?
Yeah, Alex Mack. She's the one person I don't get starstruck. She was my first crush. I lose my mind, and I think that like I need to leave because I need her to like me, and if she doesn't, the whole world is
going to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he got like really emotional during that one.
It was a great day.
So you're doing the play.
So anyway, so we're doing that play. The reason I bring this up is because I'm trying to think of things that people are doing, creative things that people are doing that aren't necessarily outwardly.
Sorry, are you thinking of the merry-go-round theater?
And you did
the merry-go-round theater, and you did the
and the Red House Art Center.
But it's also called the Finger Lakes Musical Festival.
Yeah, and now it's called the Rev.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
Yeah, nobody knows why.
Okay.
Great people. But anyway.
Yeah.
Marshall has started this great thing where he has now he's created this competition. So these huge text chains. And one of them is Marshall. He gives us a competition. And so all of these kids, because it was a bunch of young people in the show and older people in the show. But one of the things that he's done right now is we're in the middle of this competition. And the only reason I bring it up is because today it was a TikTok. We had to create a TikTok, and we had a couple of rules that we had to do. And there's two teams. It's people over 32 and people below 32 in the company. And our TikTok was that you had to make a TikTok. It had to have a prop. It had to include some kind of choreography, perhaps from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got certain awards for that. Mine involved a full bathtub, fully clothed with the guitar and a song called Loch Ness Monster, which I will, which you can go and.
Well, I'm going to follow you on TikTok right now.
You made a TikTok. That's so fancy.
I did. I'll send it to you guys, or maybe I'll open it up because I don't think I'm unprivated yet because I'm old.
Sure.
Oh, I also started a TikTok in quarantine, so we're all here.
My question for you guys was: Are there any groups that you're involved with that are doing interesting, cool, fun things during this quarantine period that I don't know that are just fun that,
sure.
that you would not
so
have done
you're otherwise. Literally watching it and listening to it right now. I
yes.
only talk to Kimberly, Kevin, like I'm
we talk
half,
three times a
I'm
week
not
now.
Even joking, we talk every single day and we Zoom,
we always talk every day
70% of those times. Like this is my family. Like we this is what we do. I mean, I obviously my work friends, that my work coworkers and friends and stuff like that, but like Kevin and Kimberly is like my lifeline right now for sure.
Yeah. My in-laws, so all
no, Kimberly, you have to say yes.
Well, you too. You said it. In addition.
Sure, sure, sure.
We have started a Schmidt family Marco Polo chat.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I love a Marco Polo.
And so, but every day there's a daily question that everyone has to answer in the Marco Polo. I could pose one to all of you.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
Like 2 days ago, the question of the day was, what fantasy or fictional world do you think you would thrive in? Like if you could go, what did I say? Mine. Oh, I said mine was something dumb, but.
Oh, mine would be, Wreck-It Ralph.
Like, what did we say? Like, Jay's mom said that she would thrive in the chalk paintings in Mary Poppins.
That's a great answer.
That's where she would want to live. Jay's dad said that he would want to be in the Truman Show, but that he'd want to be Truman.
Oh, my.
Jesus.
Wow. Damn.
Why not?
Masochist much.
Mine would be Narnia.
Narnia. Jay said Narnia.
I think I would do really well in Narnia.
Wait, Kimberly, what did you say?
I said Pride and Prejudice, but then I didn't think that was fantasy enough. So I recently have rediscovered these books that I read in middle school that I brought to New York for some reason called Daughters of the Moon.
I think you say the Babysitter's Club.
No, Daughters of the Moon, they all realize that they are goddesses and they have to choose to ascend to an ethereal plane.
I want to write that down. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, Daughters of the Moon.
Okay.
What's yours, Jeremy?
Mine's easy. The movie Clue.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Did anybody see the tweet that went viral that somebody tweeted that was like, yes, every gay man turns into one of the three women from Clue when they get drunk?
Who are you?
When I get drunk, I 100% become Mrs. White.
Amazing. Well, on that note,
flames on the side of my face.
Did everyone answer that question? Mm-hmm.
That would make a great stage play or a
Paper Mill's doing it next year.
Oh, they are?
Cleveland Playhouse Foster. Destiny.
It's not the movie. It's like a,
yes.
He's directing it, right?
No, Hunter Foster's directing it.
He wrote
an adaptation that is more like the movie that already existed. Yeah. It's at Cleveland Playhouse, or it was at Cleveland Playhouse, and it's going to Paper Mill in the fall.
Yeah. Well, on that note, that brings us to the end of our episode. Jeremy, thank you so much. Well, we can hang out after this, but recording. Thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun. You can follow Jeremy on social media.
He's not on social media anymore.
Ooh, but really? What's your TikTok?
He went away. I'm thinking about getting back on social media just for this period, only because I miss that interaction. But no, I got off of social media pretty recently.
Good for you.
Altogether. Anyway. Sorry.
Does it feel good? No, it's great.
It felt really good.
It must feel good.
I think it is.
It felt really good. But now I miss people.
Yeah, for sure.
So now I have to just reach out and beg Broadwasted to have me come back. Because it just feels so sad to drink my... Because usually this is exactly what I do at night. But there's nobody on the screen.
Julie asked you.
Just wasted, looking at Google pictures of Hawaii.
Well, on that note, you can follow us at Broadwasted. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter. We have a Facebook group. Join us there for some theater nerdy stuff. Yep. You can find us on things like Spotify as well as iTunes. Rate and review us there. 5 stars, please. And thank you. Oh,
I say thank you.
Sorry. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to end every episode with a quote. And today it's going to be a little...
Wait, we end every episode with a quote?
I hate you. It's going to be a little somber today, and I just, it's very important to me that we do this.
Okay.
And the quote is, but I know one thing's... I don't ask a lot, girl, but I know one thing's for sure. It's the love I haven't got, girl, and I just can't take it anymore. That is that thing you do. Adam, who wrote most of the...
Score to That Thing You Do,
a huge part of my childhood, and Fountains of Wayne, Stacy's Mom, all of that stuff, as well as, because I grew up just outside of Wayne, so I knew the Fountains of Wayne store and I knew the band, and then obviously I'm Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, passed away, unfortunately, from COVID. And he's a huge part of why I do what I do. He's incredible and just, you know, sucks. And so I just wanted to do that, not to end on a somber note, but thought it was important to highlight his contribution to not he did Crybaby, wrote the score to Crybaby. Mm-hmm.
The upcoming Sarah Silverman musical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was important that we highlight some of that and talk about him for a hot second.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But on that note, let's cheer it up a little bit. We're really happy to see that you're healthy, Jeremy. We're super happy to chat with you. That's cool. But thank you so much for joining us. You really put on the Ritz for us. We appreciate it. Yeah, so good.
You guys, I would drink with you every day if I could.
Oh, that would be fun.
We'll have you whenever.
I'm going to take a picture of this. Cheers for Instagram.
Oh, sure. Cheers. Thank you so much. And as we say at every end of every episode, zoot doolop. Cheers. Thanks, man. That was awesome.
That was really great.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.